Well, while it's fresh in your mind, do you want to take off from that, or do you want me to say something first?
No, you go ahead.
Okay.
I'll let my anger go down. No, I'm just kidding.
Talking about anger, I want to read a verse in the Bible here. And I was just thinking of some thoughts here this morning. And I'm going to get out these magnifying glasses. Years back, I was at a Brother Phil and Sister Diane's house. And this was quite a number of years ago. And I was reading something that they had a little pamphlet there. And I took it and I started looking at it. And she said, "Do you want some readers?" Because like she had several of them around. And I said, "Oh, no, readers." And then it dawned on me, you know, after when you go through elementary school and then you graduate from high school and then you get a diploma in, from the university and then you're looking at your Bible and you're looking at the same word for 5 minutes, you go, "I need some help here." So I got me a pair. Anyways, Psalm 25, and we were singing about this. It says, "Unto thee," Psalm 25:1, "unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me." And what the Lord was just sharing with me as I've been helping our youngest son, JB. Honey, do you want to say hi? I mean from up here. Just real quick, like, after you've gone through a couple kids, you start getting it right on some things. Say hi.
Hi, it's an honor to be here. I have my cousins here. I have my uncle, my grandma. I mean, what is there not to like about a kid? We have to enjoy our childhood, of course.
JB's 11, but a few weeks ago, a little more than a month, the Lord just started dealing with me about teaching him while he's young and not waiting till he got into his teens and all up in that and out of the house, about the fact that reminding him that we are a three-part being and that the emotions that we have, because unlike us, I grew up in the Twin Cities. Brother Gary grew up here in Dodge Center. When you're from the north, you might be angry for a month and nobody even really knows. And you're going, this finally somebody says, "Is there something wrong?" No. And you'll still say no until like somebody pulls it out or you blow up at everybody and then they go, "There must have been something wrong there." Yeah, like last summer, you know, and you'll start bringing this up that happened, you know, years ago. But we grew up like that. I mean, we'd be in the same house, and he wouldn't know, and I wouldn't know. But this little kid, he just like, when it comes on, he'll come marching through the house, and it'll be like published, and he'll announce it and say, "I'm frustrated here." And we go, "Okay, let's sit down and have a meeting about it." But the Lord just shared with me to start instilling in him the fact that he doesn't have to, we don't have to be controlled by those emotions because we are not emotions. We're emotional beings. God made us that way. And emotions are neither evil or good, or they're just part of us. And so we are a spirit, but we have a soul which contains our emotions and feelings and our will. But we also have a body. We live in this body. And so we said to him, "Honey, you don't need to be, it's great, you say you're frustrated, okay, now let's back that up, why, and everything, but you've got to remember that if you're alone and you're frustrated, and you don't just go bash your hand, you know, fist through the wall, you need to, like, have your real self, your spiritual self, the true you, say, just a minute here, calm down and tell yourself and control those, because your spirit man is the one who should be controlling you, not your emotions, not your body, how it feels. It's always going to feel bad sooner or later." You know what I mean? Brother Gary, he told our church congregation down there, he said, "You know, you get up into these other years, you know, the 40s and the 50s, and I spend more time now just talking to my knees in the morning, you know, than I ever did before. I never even kind of paid attention to my knees, but now I really do, you know, knees get in line with the Word of God. And you just, but it's your spirit, man, the true. But this verse, it says, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Your soul is your mind, the brain thinking part, your will, this thing that says, I want to do that, I will do that. And your emotions. You lift that up to the Lord. Your spirit man is already born again, but you lift up your soul. And every day, it takes it, it's necessary every day. Lord, I lift up my soul to you. I give my will to you, so your will be done. But I give my emotions to you. And I give this part of me that fluctuates. It's like, how many of you ever have watched the Mark Lowry videos? I know a lot of us have. Isaiah. That's what keeps you going, right? And then watching those Mark Lowry videos, he said, I have a favorite verse. And I thought, yeah, that's becoming part of my, one of my favorite verses too, my life verse. He says, and it came to pass. And I said, yeah. He said, that's it. And it came to pass. He says, this too will pass. Last year, did you have a wonderful, great, beautiful year? This will pass. Did you have a rotten, bummed out year, depressing year? This too shall pass. It will pass. It came to pass. And he said, the Lord has given us life. Life is just a series of things that come our way. And we like take them, we respond to them. But he says, I've given you life more abundant. And then he goes like this and he says, but we don't have to be controlled by something that happened to us. And like when the people talk about, oh, when somebody does something to you, don't take offense. And we'll come home from church or from something and Brother Gary will see me. He says, honey, just don't take offense. And I said, I'm telling you right now, I took it, and it's here now, and so I've got to deal with it. I'm beyond the don't take it. He said, I've taken it now. Now what do I do with it? Let it go. Just let it go, and don't hold on to it, because the more you do, it starts like skin. It kind of grafts in there, attaches itself to you. So this is what we've been teaching JB. Just you don't have to be controlled by that anger or frustration or disappointment. You can tell that. Say, the Bible says, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm above that. Lord, help me love that person who did that to me. Help me to accept the fact that I didn't get 100 on my exam. Help me do better next time. So that's what I kind of wanted to share with you. It's truly a pleasure to be here. And we love you, Pastor Roger and Melanie, just all these years and how you've helped the ministry down there. And it keeps growing and we keep building and adding on due to the funding and the donations that you as a church have been sending down there. And we bless you and we love you and we thank you, honey.
I see you left me 5 minutes.
Is that good?
That's good. I love you. That was really good. So now are we ready to go home? I think Loretta just heard us come to see what Katrina was going to say. Well, good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to be here again and to see all your smiling faces. Smile. Life will be over soon, so don't worry about it. No, I want to also thank all of you here. You know, I was going to say something about it, but Pastor Roger stole all my thunder, so I guess we'll continue on from there. But thank you, Phil and Diane, especially. You know, you made a great impact in my life. And a lot of the stuff, you know, that would that happened, that have that has happened, you know, that would have never taken place if you hadn't been an instrument for the Lord. And so, appreciate that. Of course, my mom is up there, a little bit higher. this morning, you know, we live, I want to talk about the time in which we live. And it seems like it's getting more and more difficult. You need to kind of move your eyes away from that and keep them on Jesus. but we're going to start in Luke chapter 21. And so if you don't know, what we do is we train national ministers to reach their own people. That's the main thing that we do, that we've been called to do. We teach, 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 and then we teach some more. And that's basically what we do all the time, most of the time. I do some construction work and other things like that. And Sister Katrina does a lot of administrative type work and things like that, plus praise and worship. And we're involved in a lot of different things, put on a lot of different hats. But the end goal is to make disciples, train ministers, and send them out. To reach their own people. And so we'll talk a little bit more about that later, but we've had the pleasure and privilege to teach, train hundreds, thousands of people in the last 23 years in Honduras. It's been a little bit more than that in Central America, but that's because of people like you that have helped us to be there and to do it. It takes all of us working together. If we don't do our part as the church will never be what it's supposed to do, and it'll never be able to do what it's supposed to do. And it takes all of us. All of us. And that doesn't mean sitting in your chair. We all have to stand up and take a step of faith when God calls us to do something, whatever that may be. And there's a lot of different variations of what we can do. But in this time, it's very important that we recognize the time in which we live. It's very important that we recognize that we have to use our faith now, live our faith. It doesn't matter in which time you live. It just matters that you live your faith. And it can be a good time or it can be a bad time. It can be evil times. The Word of God doesn't give us an out as a Christian. We're called to follow Jesus Christ. And as we follow Him and we live our faith, it doesn't matter what's happening around us because our life comes from within us. And so I want to talk about the times in which we live, but the importance of that we do what God has called us to do at this time. Now, I don't think most of us, most of the church, speaking as the church in general, really realize the importance of the time in which we live and that we're involved in what God has called us to do. It's not a time to be sitting on our hands. As my pastor used to say, it's not time to be sitting on your blessed assurance. But in Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 28, the Word of God says, "And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then we'll see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near." Now if we just stop with that passage and examine that passage and all the things that the Lord said in that passage, you can't deny, basically, of the time in which we live. All those things pertain to the time in which we live. And it's not that those things have never happened before. It's not that there's never been times of fear before or times of perplexity before. But the scale of those things and the fact of all these things happening basically at the same time
is a marker for us, along with some other things I want to share this morning. Many of you have probably heard these things before, but I want to do them and bring them together so that at the end we can see where we're going as the church in the earth today, specifically in Honduras, for us. But that doesn't mean that, you know, oh, we're here one day and then we're down there and then... Because you're here, and you're as much called to this place as we're called to Honduras. And you say, well, I'm not called to the ministry. I'm not called to preach and teach. That means nothing. You have to take that thought and you have to toss it out. Because when you became a Christian, you became called. Actually, to be a member of the body of Christ, you have to realize that you are a called one. That's what the word means. The called out ones. And so you are called of the Lord. And you're called to do something for him, to make disciples and to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't have to preach in the pulpit. You don't have to teach in front of a group of people. Most people don't like to do that anyway. I didn't like to do it before I got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and the Lord just changed all that around. If you don't like to do it and the Lord wants you to do it, he will change you. So don't worry about it. He will change you as fast as he needs to change you in those ways. He'll give you gifts and talents as you need them. And sometimes those things are inside of you, down inside of you, and you don't even know they're there until he wakes them up. And when he wakes them up, things start happening. I come from this town, lived here for many, many years. Never thought I'd be going to Central America. I've lived there, let's see, how many years now? More years there now than here in the United States. And it's more home there now than it is here now. Before it wasn't. I mean, year after year after year, there was more time here, and so it had more of an effect on me. And now it's more years there, and now I'm to come here. It's familiar. I was talking to Sister Katrina yesterday. It's familiar to be here, but it's just not the same. Because where God plants you is where you grow, and that's where you prosper, and that's where the Lord wants you to be. But we look at these things, and it says here, there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. And you can put that picture up now. We'll be talking about that in a few minutes, but you can take a look at it. And I'm sure you've seen this. You know, this isn't new stuff. I've known of this for a couple of years. Many of you've probably known it longer than that. Many of these people have studied this out, and this is over 10 years ago, and people started studying this and realizing that the Lord was showing them these things. But it says there'll be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. And not just things that are happening on the earth, but God would give signs in the heavens of the time that which we live in. And also, if we go to verse 24, just back up one verse before the passage that we were seeing there, it says, and they will fall by the edge of the sword. It's talking about Jerusalem and the Jews in the Roman times. And be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. So Jesus spoke a time of the Gentiles. In other words, the Gentiles, we can say the nations. We can interchange these two terms in the Bible. You said the nations doesn't include the nation of Israel. Israel is a special nation, a special country, special group of people that God called out for a special reason, and he's going to deal with them and is dealing with them, and will deal with them much, much more as the days go by in which we live now. But the rest of the group of people in the earth, all the rest of us, were the nations. And so the times of the Gentiles have to do with the nations. And Jesus said that the Gentiles will be in control of Jerusalem until that time ended. Well, we know that Israel became a nation in 1948. We know that in 1967, the Jewish people took over Jerusalem and control of Jerusalem. They kind of made a deal there where they don't actually control the Temple Mount and things like that. But they have a basic control over Jerusalem. And so we know by that, Jesus said that they would, the Gentiles would be in control of Jerusalem until the times of the Gentiles was finished, or the time of the nations was finished. Are you with me now? Okay. So Jerusalem kind of is in control of the Jewish people, but not totally, because there's all this stuff going on still. And so we're right at the end, according to the words of Jesus. We have to look at the words of Jesus. We have to look at the words of the Bible. We can't just grab things out of the air and say this is that and this is this and just make up our own story. You have to go and look in the Bible, and you have to take the things from the Bible. And then when God starts bringing things, you know what God has said matches with what's happening. And so then things start to open up and things become unsealed. Daniel said that things would be sealed up until the time of the end. And I'll go to that scripture here in a minute. But when God starts opening things up, that means that you have a right now to be able to understand more things as a saint, as a child of God. And the times of the Gentiles will finish eventually. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. Same time that Jesus is talking, it's just another book, it's another perspective, another one of the apostles is speaking. But it's in the same discourse, and he says it in a little different way so that we have another piece of information. And I want to put these two pieces of information together. You say, well, why are you taking so much time in explaining this? Because I'm a teacher. I'm more than a preacher. And the thing is, we grow and we gain faith as we understand what God has said and how he's thinking. And that enables you to have faith, and enables you to move out and do what God has called you to do. Confidence is what causes you to move. That's faith. If you don't have confidence, you're not going to move. You're just going to sit there. If you don't know what God wants, if you don't know what God said, if you don't know how he thinks, you're going to wait. But when you gain confidence in what God has said to you, and you know what he wants from you, then you have the faith to step out and start moving, even when you can't see how it's going to work. This happened with the children of Israel in the desert. They left Egypt. God had pulled them out of there. He said he led them by the hand. You don't have to have faith to be led by the hand. They were grumbling and they were complaining. They were, every time they turned around and they come up on something and there was a problem, instead of saying, and they had seen the Lord work 10 miracles in the land of Egypt and crossed the Red Sea, come to the other side, destroy Pharaoh's army. And the first time they come up and they find some water because they're so thirsty. And believe me, after 3 days without water, you're going to be a little bit thirsty. And I imagine that we've, you know, kind of grumbled and complained too. But they come up there and the water is bitter and they cannot drink it. And instead of saying, Lord, you've done great things in the past, we need water. They said, that's what we do in Spanish, in Latin America. This means you just start mouthing off. Talking without thinking. Out of your emotion, which Sister Katrina just talked about right now. You feel things, you're under stress, and you start saying things you ought not to say. They didn't have faith yet. And they grumbled and complained. And the Lord, he said, take the tree, throw it in the water. The water was made sweet, and they could drink the water. They moved on to the next thing. And it says, the Lord tested them, and they tested the Lord. He tested them 10 times. They tested him back. In other words, the Lord brought them to something in their life where they had to trust in him, and they didn't. And he was trying to teach them. He was trying to teach them to trust in him for everything. The water, the food, the way they should walk, the way they should go. And he was trying to teach them to have faith. And at the end of the 10 times, he says, you will not enter the promised land. You will die in the desert. It says they didn't enter into rest. They didn't enter into faith. The Lord wants us to move into faith. The time in which we live is not going to be easy. I'm sorry to announce this. But if you haven't realized it yet, you know, it doesn't mean you're not going to be blessed. It doesn't mean good things are not going to come to your life. It just means there's going to be some things that you're not going to like, and there's going to be some pressure against you. There's going to be resistance. There already is, and there's going to be more. There's going to be more. And that's why you have to enter into faith, because these people in the desert, they walked into these situations where they had no answer in the natural. And they went to their natural mind as, oh, I wish we had stayed in Egypt. You know, they were slaves in Egypt. God freed them, gave them their liberty, and now they want to go back to be a slave because, you know, I said this the other day at church, most people will sell their liberty for food. Most people will sell their liberty for food. That's why you have to get close to the Lord. Because when you know the Lord, then you really begin to know what liberty is all about and realize what it means to you, and you really live in liberty. But the further you get away from him, the more of a slave you become. The first, I know I'm going around the end here a little bit, but we'll get back here. Did you know the first delegation of authority in the Bible? When he said to man and the woman to multiply and fill the earth, you know the first thing that the Lord gave them? Other than that command, he gave them free will, which means they had liberty to make choices. Everything that came after that was built on that. And everything that come after that respects that first thing that the Lord gave us, was free will and the ability to choose our destination of where we're going to go, how we're going to live our life. And every authority that comes into our life needs to respect that. And that's why we have so many problems on the earth. We don't respect that thing that the Lord gave to each one of us. But as we go along here, we see what happened to those children of Israel walking. You see, it says that he was unable to persuade them to believe. The Lord called it an evil heart of unbelief. Now, how many of us think that not believing is evil? We don't think in those terms, do we? Unless you have a Bible mentality. The Lord said, when you choose not to believe, I'm not talking about doubt. Doubt is this. One day, oh, I don't know, and you're back and forth. That's doubt. That's not unbelief. Unbelief is when you decide in yourself, I can't believe, I will not believe that. And the Lord said that they had an evil heart of unbelief. He could not persuade them to step out. He said, go into the promised land. They said, oh no, wait a minute, there's giants there. No, we're not going. After he had tested them in the desert many times. And you know something? Up to that time, he never said anything much. He just said, okay, do this, do that. And he provided for them. He was carrying them by the hand, teaching them, trying to get them to the point where they're actually going to believe and trust him. Their children did it. The Lord doesn't want that for us. The Lord doesn't want that for us. We can't go back. You can't go back, like the song, we can't go back. Once you start on the road with the Lord, he expects you to renew your mind, change the way you think, know how he thinks, and walk the way he thinks and the way he made things to operate in this land, in this earth, I mean. And if we do it, then the blessings come, the power of God is present, his presence flows in our lives, and we have all things that he promised to us. But when we choose not to believe, that's evil for him. That's evil. Did you know there's only one sin that he doesn't forgive other than, I mean, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? You know which one he can't forgive? Unbelief. How do you get saved? Faith. People that can't believe don't get saved. God requires faith. He requires trust. And so we're looking now at these things that are happening in the earth, in the time in which we live right now. It's very important you understand where you live, when you're living, and what you're supposed to be doing. It says in Matthew 24, verse 14, for the king, wait a minute, that's 14, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. What did we just talk about? The times of the Gentiles until they're finished. Okay, the Gentiles will be in control of Jerusalem until the times of the Gentiles are finished. And it says, the church will preach the gospel, and then the end will come. You see, one says the Gentiles, and it says the nations. They're interchangeable. So we're running down this track, and we're coming to the end of the track. The end of the track is the time of the Gentiles is closing when they're in control of Jerusalem, and the end of the age is coming. And the church's job is finishing also, because we are supposed to what? Preach the gospel to all nations, and then the end will come. So he's talking about the same thing. It's just two different books, two different perspectives. We're coming down to the end. Now let's go to Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Joel chapter 2, verse 28 through verse 32. This is a prophecy about the church. This was given about 800 years before Jesus came, died on the cross, and was raised from the dead, and the church started. And this prophecy is about the church, the time of the church. Let's read here, verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. That's the church. Anybody that believes gets the spirit. We all have the same spirit. He lives in us. The Old Testament, that didn't happen. That's in the New Testament. That's in the church. It says that I will pour my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, neither male nor female. Galatians. Neither male nor female. God is going to use male, female, whoever. It says here, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see vision. Doesn't matter if you're old or young. All you need is faith. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Doesn't matter if you got money or don't have money. Doesn't matter if you're the boss or you're the employee. Christians are all equal. We're all children of God. We all have the same value. And we can all be used by the same Spirit. What He decides for our life. And that is not a natural determination. That's purely spiritual determination by your Father in heaven and the plan He has for your life from before the foundation of the world. So God has a plan for your life. He has something for you to do. And if you don't complete that, you'll never be fulfilled completely in your life because He has something that He made you for and to walk in it. It says we're saved by faith through grace, but it says what? To do works that have been before ordained. When you get saved, He has works that He has lined up for you to accomplish in your life. It's not just some guessing thing going on here. You know, He didn't save you. He said, now let's see, this one got saved. What are we going to do with him? No, that's not what God... God has this thing so planned out, you just... It'd be marvelous just to see, you know, but your brain would just splatter all over the wall. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I'll pour my spirit. And we got down to verse 29. And so in the church, all types of people are in the church. And all those people have the same spirit. And they're all going to be used by the same spirit. And we know that. Because we've lived it. And that has been the church. But there is a reserved part of these verses that are reserved for the last days. Now we'll read that part. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth. Blood and fire and pillars of smoke. That probably refers to war. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. We see here in these verses, these are the things that have to come to pass, because he goes into a thing of signs. And signs that no one could determine before now, because they didn't know how to predict them before, but now you can. And that's what this picture shows right here. We know now, mathematically speaking, God has made the universe, and it runs on a timetable that you cannot interrupt. And God knew throughout all the centuries and millenniums exactly when this was going to happen. And it said it would happen before. I want to point your attention to the word before. Because it says the moon shall be darkened, and the moon shall be turned to blood. The sun shall be darkened, moon turned to blood. And in all other places it says that the moon shall be blood, and the sun shall be just dark, not totally darkened. You have to look at the language, and you have to know exactly what it's saying. You have to cipher it out. They're different events. A lot of times we've made the same event, this event, the same event as this event. There are different events that happen through this whole time period. And so if you start saying, well, this is the same as this, not necessarily. Details matter. And the way the Lord says things matter. And so when you study the Word of God, you have to pay attention to the details, and you have to separate them out. And the reason also that we can understand these things now when other people could not in the past is because they were sealed. I want you to go with Daniel with me, the book of Daniel. We're having a little Bible study here today. Now, I'm going to try to get done as quickly as I can. But there's a point in all this. The point is not just to say, wow, ooh, oh, that's going to happen. Oh, the Bible says this and that and everything. No, it's because you have a participation in it. Yeah, that's good. This is not so the Lord can say, wow, look at how great I am. You know, I can predict the future. Man, if you don't know God can do that already, you already have a problem. You know, God knows everything. That's one of the basics about God. No, the reason that the Lord does something, he's pointing us to things. He shows us things so that we see the path and we know what's going on, and so that we can be participative. Also, it gives us confidence that everything is going to turn out all right, too. Amen. Anybody think that once in a while you think, oh, man, this thing's going, we're not going to survive this. Huh? Don't worry. We're going to make it. Yeah, but I don't want to die. You're going to die. Sooner or later, you're going to die anyway. Don't worry about it. Unless Jesus comes back first. That's fine. But are you a Christian or are you not a Christian? Are you not a Christian? Well, then why are you afraid of dying? Hello? It's because I don't... It's because I haven't gotten married yet. I want to get married. I want to have my kids and everything. You know, then Jesus can come. The grandkids too, yeah. Well, you know, there's something that God can't do that you can. You can be a grandparent. He can't. All he has is sons and daughters. That's all he has. Let's get back on message here. We don't want to drag this out too long. You guys are going to want to eat pretty soon. Sister Audrey has brought a lot of food, I think. It was good, too. I ate some of it yesterday. All right. Where are we at? Daniel. Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Okay? What is the Lord saying to Daniel? He says, people aren't going to understand this until the end time. And you don't understand there. You know what we've said, and you get some images, but you don't understand what's going to really go on. So just don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You're not going to understand until the time of the end. Well, where are we living right now? Time of the end. Well, Pastor Gary, I don't believe we're in the time of the end. Okay. No problem. Don't believe the signs. Just go on with life, you know, like normal. Be your happy self. You know, Jesus appears in the sky. You say, oh, hi. See you later. I'm busy. I'm getting married. That's what it says in the Bible. Amen. Everybody's laughing. They're a little nervous in here, I think. If we jump down just a little further. Verse 9, and he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. He repeats it. All these years, you know, I remember back in the early 80s, we were in the Bible studies, and we're going through their prophecy, and Jesus is coming soon. We're going to these movies and everything, and oh, man, you know, Jesus is coming soon. 90s. 2000 came and went. Oh, he's got to be coming pretty soon before 2010. 2010 came and went. It came to pass. And now we're in 2014, but you know, a lot of things have happened. And the reason we couldn't understand everything or see everything is because the Lord hadn't opened things yet. The Lord has to open things for you to understand them. It's called revelation. And if the Lord doesn't reveal things to you, you're not going to know. That's why the children of Israel wandered around that desert, you know, until they came to Mount Sinai, and then the Lord revealed all that stuff. Five books of the Bible, the first five books. And they knew where they came from. They knew why they existed. They know what the Lord had done with them and what he wanted to do with them. All that is contained in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. But without that, they were just kind of like, yeah, we came out of Egypt. What are we going to do now? I won't go into all that. We can be here for the next 2 weeks. But back to Joel now. It says that Peter in Acts chapter 2 said, this is that which Joel spoke, and he gave the prophecy. But only part of that prophecy started when the church started. The other part is when the church ends. He gave the beginning and how it run for 2,000 years. Which we believe that's what's going to happen now. But then he gave the end. And he said, what's going to happen before the end? He said, before the day of the Lord. He didn't say after the day of the Lord. What's the day of the Lord? The judgment and the coming of Jesus Christ. The judgment on the nations and the coming of Jesus Christ. That's the day of the Lord. And so before the day of the Lord, something's going to happen. What's going to happen before? The moon will turn to blood and the sun will be darkened. Now that's what this represents right here. And I know some of you probably have already studied this. You already know all about this. Praise the Lord. But I'm going to go over it again. Okay? We see in the next 2 years, and one of these has already passed. This is a cycle that happens. They're called tetrads when there's four. Excuse me, there's four lunar eclipses in 2 years. It doesn't happen on certain days, except very infrequently. But this happens many times for 300 years, and then it didn't happen for 300 years, and then it starts happening again. And it can happen any time during the year, but it's only happened like five, six times in 2,000 years. Okay, and so in this next, in these 2 years, 2014, 2015, we have full lunar eclipses, which are called blood moons. When the lunar eclipse comes and is blocked from the sun, the rays of the sun come around the earth, shine on the moon, and it turns it a red color. That's why it's called a blood moon. And so we see the 15th of April, we had one of those. How many of you stayed up and watched that? I did too. I got it on film and everything. Really cool. You know, 2 weeks later, there was a partial solar eclipse. No, it wasn't partial. It was an annular solar eclipse, but you could only see it if you're like in Antarctica. It would have been kind of cold. But then, and that's just the sun is partially darkened there. You'll see there's solar eclipses in between all of these things. They're either partial or full. And then that is Passover. The reason these solar and lunar eclipses are so important and so like signs is because they're happening exactly on days that the Lord said he would appear. You say, what are those? All right. Who knows about the feasts of God? I'm not talking about the Jewish feasts because they're not Jewish feasts. There's the feasts of God. God established them, and the Jews are supposed to observe them, or Israel is supposed to observe them. But God established feasts. The word for feast is moed, and it means a time, appointed time, and also can mean a rehearsal. And so when God placed these feasts, and feasts we think about eating all this and, you know, like that, that's not what it means. It's an appointed time we were supposed to meet, and they used them as God used them as rehearsals. And what he was doing was saying, these are the days when I am going to appear. This is when I'm going to manifest. This is when I'm going to come to you. Actually, come to the earth and do things as the omnipotent God. And so, Passover and the Feast of Unleavened is the first one of those during the year. And that is exactly when the lunar eclipse happened this year. The first day of unleavened bread, right after Passover, that night was the first blood moon. The Feast of Tabernacles is later in the year. And that is the 8th of October this year. That's the first day. It's the 15th day of the 7th month of the Jewish calendar. And so when that happens, the Feast of Tabernacles starts, and they're supposed to observe another feast for 7 days. Well, exactly on that first day, there's going to be another lunar eclipse. Exactly on the day. Now tell me something. Do you think that the Lord knew exactly what day that was going to be and where the moon was going to be? Two thousand eight hundred years ago. At the beginning. Before the beginning. Okay? 2015. The first day of the calendar year of God's calendar is the first day of Nisan, which falls on the 20th of March next year. Exactly on the beginning of the calendar, there is a total solar eclipse. 15 days later is the Passover again. Actually, 14th day is the Passover, and then the Feast of Unleavened Bread on the 15th day. On the 15th day, there will be another lunar eclipse. Exactly on the feast day. Further on down, you see on the 28th of September, which is the Feast of Tabernacles, which is also the feast of, they call it the Feast of Ingathering. It was when you have all the harvest in. It's very important. God set these things up with sowing and reaping. And it's got to do with the end time harvest and the harvest of souls, because God planted us here in the earth and he's harvesting his children out of what he's sown. So when you look at these things, you have to be thinking on things of sowing and reaping and harvest, because this is what this is all around. And so you see those 4 times in 2 years, exactly on the days. This has only happened in the last 500 years. This has only happened 3 other times. Right after Columbus came to America, right after Israel became a nation, and when Israel took over Jerusalem, 1967-68. There's only 3 times in 500 years. This is the 4th time, and this is the last time for the next 300 years that this will happen. on these dates. There's other tetrads that will happen this century, but never on these dates. Because it's ending. So if God put these things exactly there, and everything that happens, something happens with Israel, you say, well, what happened with Columbus? They were all the Jewish people were kicked out of Spain. Columbus was leaving Spain. And at the same time, the Jews were boarding boats to leave Spain. Sad time. You know what they did this year? Has anybody heard what they did this year with the Jews in Spain? All the descendants of those Jews that were kicked out of Spain, they've invited them back to become citizens of Spain. Now, what kind of coincidence can that possibly be? That on years of blood moons, on the feast days, the very people that were kicked out of a country 500 years ago are now invited back in. I don't know if you had heard that, but that happened this year. It's wonderful, isn't it? See, God knows what he's doing. And that's why he wants you to know these things. And that's why he gave you these things. And that's why this was lost, because the church kicked all this stuff out and they forgot all this stuff until this last century, and they started bringing it back and understanding all of it again. And the Lord said it would be hidden until the end time anyway, and you wouldn't be able to understand it. But now you can, because now they have all the things about everything, about how the planets move and everything, and you can determine exactly when and where it's going to be. You know, in 1948, and actually it happened in 1949 and 50, they didn't say, oh, there's going to be four blood moons on the feasts. In 1967, 68, they didn't say, oh, there's going to be four blood moons on the feasts. Nobody even realized what was going on. Nobody even noticed. But now they look back and say, this happened, this happened, this happened. And now it's happening again. By the way, there's another partial solar eclipse exactly on the Feast of Trumpets. First day of the seventh month, 15 days before Feast of Tabernacles. You say, why do we go over, why are you going over this? Just to show you how exact God can be. And how he made the solar system to exactly do what he wanted to do when he wanted to do it. Did you know the sun only can be an eclipse 15 days after an eclipse of the luna, of the moon? It's the only possible way, because they're exact opposite, 15 days apart. Either 15 days after or 15 days before. That's the way that calendar operates. That's the way the solar system, or the moon system with the sun and the earth operate. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 1. See, it's getting long. Yeah, but just hang on. We're getting to the end. Maybe. Hang on. Well, I got things I've got planned. God's got planned things too. I got my plans. Yeah, those are temporal plans. They're for today, and they're going to be gone. And this is where we as Christians in the time we live, we have to grab a hold of who we are and what time we're living in. And we should have done this anytime that we live. It doesn't matter. But the thing is that you've got a hold of, you've got to live your faith. You've got to have faith. Because God has something to do now that needs to be done. And you're a part of it. Well, I don't want to be a part of it. I'm happy doing what I'm doing. Well, yeah, I guess the virgins didn't have any oil either, but you've got to repent. Has anybody realized what's going on in your country? Do you know what's going on? Read Leviticus chapter 26. You'll find out what's going on. Not right now. Wait until you get home. These four blood moons fall exactly on the feast days of God when he said in history he will appear. They do this every year, every year, every year. Why do they do it every year? Because God is saying, you're going to have to know when the day falls. So they're ready. And they're all set up as a rehearsal so that they know. Year after year after year, but they're blinded, so they don't even know. They're just saying, oh, we're doing this fiesta again this year. When God says, this is a moed. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, it says, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons. The first thing it says is signs and seasons. This is for day and night. Now, we know all about day and night, praise the Lord. But signs and seasons, we say, oh yeah, you know, there's autumn, there's spring. That's not what he was talking about. Signs is a beacon or a flag or something you put up there to get somebody's attention. There's supposed to be signs and for seasons. And the seasons is the moed and an appointed time. An appointed time. These are appointed times by God, and he put them in practice every year for Israel. But the thing is, they were supposed to do it until they recognized the fact that, oh, this is when he's going to meet. And there would be a time in history on that day he would meet with the people. That happened the first time on Passover. When Jesus came, he exactly died on the 14th day. And he was buried. And the 15th day, the unleavened bread means sin is taken away. It's the festival. It's the celebration. It's the fact that Jesus came and met and he took sin away and removed it. There are other days that are exactly appointed too. Like the one we just celebrated on Easter Sunday. Easter is not a good word. That comes from Babylon. It's not got nothing to do with the Bible. Resurrection Sunday is the day of first fruits. It's the primicia. It's when Jesus was raised from the dead. You know what? Oh, man, I better stop doing this. I'm going to teach the whole thing. And you ain't got time for all this. If you want to, I'm going to have to make a tape set. Or they don't use tapes anymore. CDs, DVDs and CDs and MP3 and... You can tell where you can tell the time when I was growing up, can't you? All right. Anyway, let's get back to the point. The feasts are when God is going to appear, and Jesus appeared, and then he was raised from the dead exactly on a day when God said he would raise from the dead. 50 days later, God appeared again. It's called the day of Pentecost. Not the Father, not the Son, but the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit appeared on the day of Pentecost 50 days later after the resurrection. These are exactly days that God established in the Word of God. And these are exactly when God made a manifestation of himself on the earth. I'm not talking about in your head or in your heart. We're talking about actually on the earth. Something happening. Manifestation. Well, there's three left. One, the Feast of the Sukkot, which is the Feast of Tabernacles, is one of them. The other two, one is the Feast of Trumpets. And trumpets has to do with, well, everybody thinks that's when Jesus came back the first time for us. Okay, then, because the order shows that. If he raised from the dead, and then the Holy Spirit came, and then the next thing on the order is that he's coming back to the same place he left. Hello? But first he has come for the church. And there's the Day of Atonement, which has not been completely fulfilled yet for the Jewish nation. And then there's the Feast of Tabernacles. And that's why these days are important for us to know. It's very important we know, because God said, these are the things I'm going, on these days I'm going to do special things. And we can see, he said, the moon shall be turned to blood and the sun shall be darkened before the coming and great day of the Lord. Are you with me? You need to capture this. He said before. This is a sign for us. This is a sign for the church. This is in the church prophecy. Joel chapter 2, verse 28 to 31. That is a prophecy of the church age, the church time, a time of the nations, and the preaching of the gospel to the nations. And that will end. But it says before the end, before the great day of the Lord, there's going to be a sign. Now, when do you think the Lord would give us signs so that we knew he was talking? If he said the moon is going to become like blood or red, and the sun is going to become, when do you think he would do that so we knew that it was him? Because it could happen any day during the year. So when do you think he would do that? I would think that he would do it on the days that he already set up. Don't you? I mean, if God said, I think this way, don't you think that he'd use what he already did to communicate with us now? That's what the Old Testament is for. The Old Testament says this, these things were written so that we could learn from them and not make the same mistakes. So now God is speaking. He's giving us signs in the heavens. We have signs on earth. Well, read the signs that Jesus gave. I don't think there's one missing. The key is, does Israel exist? Yes or no? Did it exist before 1947 as a nation on earth, as a nation? No, the people existed. They were scattered through all nations. The people existed, but the nation did not exist. Does it exist now? See, all those other signs don't mean nothing if you don't have that piece in place. That piece is in place. All the other signs, are they happening? Yes. Jesus said, when you see these things begin to happen, when you see all of these things begin to happen. I know I'm going kind of slow, but I want you to remember this. Because you're going to go out of here and you're going to go about your everyday business. You've got to do things like that. But you need to remember this. Because it's the time that we live in. And if it's the time that we're living in, it's important to know because God has something special for you to do. And that's where we're coming now. God is speaking. He's given us all the signs. He showed us exactly what he wants to do. Why can we understand it now? Because it was sealed until now. As soon as God starts doing things and you recognize it's God, then he starts taking the blinders off. You say, well, he said this from, everybody's been saying this forever, forever. I've heard people say that. That's exactly what Peter said people would say when it was time. Because God is long-suffering and wants all to be saved. But he said the people in that time of the end would say, they've talked about that forever. Even before the fathers way back there, and it's never happened. See, don't fall into that trap. Are you still with me? Now let's go on to back to Joel. And let's finish up here. And this is where I wanted to get. With all this, I want you to... This builds confidence in you that God is speaking. If I just came in here and said, oh, you know what? We're living in the time of the end. You say, what proof do you have? Well, I need to give you the proof first so that then later I can say, you know, this is what Jesus wants you to do. Joel. Chapter 28. Chapter 2, verse 28. Excuse me. Let's go down to verse. Remember, the signs before the coming day of the great Lord? What does it say in verse 32? Now, stay with me until we finish. It's important. I know things go on sometimes, and a lot of preachers get long-winded. I'm not long-winded today for a reason. I'm being a little long-winded today. I mean, sometimes people just go on and on and on, but that's not the reason I'm, you know, doing what I'm doing today. Verse 32, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, we know that's been the church age, but now we're talking about the end. When the sign comes, and we're reaching the end of the age, then there's a special time. It's not time to quit. When we know the Lord's coming, it's not time to quit. There's still something that's got to happen. All that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion in Jerusalem, now that's referring back to Israel. So Israel is going to come into its own pretty soon in this other move that God is going to do with them. The church is not finished yet. You're not finished till the job's done. Jesus said that the gospel will be preached to all nations, then the end shall come. Well, apparently, not all the nations have heard. Nations are not countries in the Bible. It's not borders. It's people groups. People with the same culture, language, like that. There's people groups in here, in Rincones, different places, that have not heard the true gospel. They might have heard of Jesus in some way or another. And there's people today in the United States that have heard about Jesus and about church, but they have no idea who Jesus really is. And guess who's going to tell them? If you don't, nobody else is going to. Because you're the one who knows them. There's a lot of people say, I'm Christian. They ain't more Christian than the man on the moon. They don't even know who Jesus is. They just have a name on their thing. They say, I'm Christian. Oh, are you Christian? Yeah, I try to, you know. Do you believe in the Bible? Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, what about Jesus? Well, I'm trying to do the best I can do. You don't know Jesus yet. That's not what being a Christian is about. Being a Christian is knowing Jesus as your Savior and Lord and having a relationship, and He is the power and the presence and the life of you. It's not about going to some place and having a party or having a lot of money or twisting God's arm in some way or not. No, it's got nothing to do with it. You need to get your faith in the Word of God, because God's going to do something through your life. You're not here on the earth to come to church. You ought to come to church. That's not what I'm saying. That's one part. You're on earth because you're to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Otherwise, go home today, please. I'm just kidding. The reason when you got saved, you didn't get to go to heaven right away, which would be far better. Paul said it. It's far better. Far. He didn't say it's better. He said it's far better. The reason you didn't go right then is because God elected you to go here and tell somebody else about God's love that He gave to you, and He saved you, and He forgave your sins, and He gave you peace. Nobody else around this world has what you have. Yeah, well, I'm not convinced. Get to with God. Get in your Bible, get to with God, and get in His presence, and quit talking. Everybody goes to prayer and talks. Get in there with God and shh. I won't complete that sentence. Be quiet. You'll find out in a hurry what God can do. You don't have to say a word. You have to say, here am I. In a few days after doing that, everybody's saying, what happened to you? What do you mean, what happened to me? You won't even notice. They'll notice. You won't notice right away. They will. But you have to spend time with the Lord. He's the power of your life. He is your life. And if you're not spending time with Him and you're spending time with everything else, that's what's going to come out of you, not Him. And that's where we're at in the church. We've lost our way. We're so into everything else that everybody else is in. How can they even tell that we're in with the Lord if we're into everything else that they're in? Is our lifestyle different? Do we live different? Do we act differently? Do we speak differently? Is there a presence? Is there an aura around us? There ought to be. When you walk in a room, people ought to know you walked in the room. And not because you're going, hey, how you doing there? Oh, well, Will, I'm here. You know? You ought to walk in there, and there ought to be the presence of God with you. But you only can do that if you're in the presence of God. I remember times when spending time with the Lord down there, and we were, at that time, we were building a building, and people would be cutting across property, and I'd stop and talk to them, and And I was talking about the Lord, and they say, they go, what's that? What is that? It was the presence of God coming all over them. What is that? And I said, well, that's the presence of the Lord. Oh, that's the way it ought to be. But you don't get that just living like everybody else lives. You have to sacrifice that stuff and put it on the altar and get rid of it. You say, well, what am I supposed to get rid of? Ask the Lord. He'll tell you. He has a way of letting you know. If you want to know. If you don't want to know, you know, you can just walk around like a deadhead all day long, you know. But he'll tell you. Now, what's the point of all this? This last part is the point of all this. And all that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a sign that our time is ending and we've got to do the rest of the work that we've got to do. We've got to finish. You can't just close the book and say, oh, the Lord's coming. Look at that. Woo-hoo! No. Yeah, but it's so dark and there's so many things and I'm feeling afraid for this and that. That's when you got to get into the presence of God, because fear is not of God. And if you're afraid of what's going on, then what difference is it between you and the other people out there saying, we're perplexity, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? The Christian ain't supposed to be saying, what's going to happen? Oh, my goodness. Oh, what's next? Oh, my. Forget that mess. God is with us. You have the God of the universe with you. Yeah, but what if they start persecuting me? Jesus said they would. Yeah, but I don't want that. But it's just going to happen. What are you supposed to do? Pray for those that persecute you. Yeah, but no, if you start striking back, and you start acting like them, that's not a witness for Jesus. Yeah, but you know, they can get really mean. Yeah, Jesus knew that too. They nailed him to a cross for it. He says, this is to what you're called, to walk in his footsteps. Even as he lived, you are to live. You are the light of the world. Jesus said it, not me. You're the salt of the earth. Jesus said it, not me. It's the word of God. Yeah, but I don't want to be salt. I don't want that responsibility. Well, buck up, boy, because it's yours. When you get there and you get before Jesus, because you're going to stand before Jesus, you're not standing before the Father first, you're going to stand before Jesus. And he's going to judge you for what you did in your body as a Christian. And you're going to have to answer. And that's not a threat, that's just the truth. And he's given you all the power, all the love, everything you need just to live your life as a Christian. And if people come against you and there's resistance and there's persecution and it doesn't look good and there's evil going on left and right, you know what? He knew that before it happened. He said, in the world, you shall have tribulation. But he didn't stop there, did he? He said, be of good courage. I have overcome the world. Revelations chapter 2 and 3. To he that overcometh. You are an overcomer. God made you to be an overcomer. You can overcome the world because Jesus is in you. It doesn't matter what the world is doing. It doesn't matter what people are doing out there and they're pushing over on everybody else. You don't have to receive it. You live your life. You speak the truth. Yeah, but what if they throw me in jail? Well, some of you shall be thrown in jail. That's what the word said back there in the time of Revelation. Some of you shall be thrown in jail. Some of you shall be killed. Oh, wait a minute. This is getting serious now. Let me find the door. This is what it means to be a Christian. A true Christian. And this is the time in which we live, and this is where God placed you for such a time as this. This is where God had planned for you throughout all of eternity, right here, right where you are right now, because he knows you can do it. He knows you can overcome. He knows you can bear through the resistance and the tribulation and everything else that would happen. He knows what's going on in this country. And it's not good. It's evil. But you're not. And there's a lot more of us too. But we are the witness for the truth. And if we don't speak, no one else will. We are called. We're chosen. We're sent. These signs were given so that we'd know. And salvation is available for everybody. But you have to take it to them. He didn't say the angels are going to, in the time of the tribulation, the angels are actually going to say something, but they're not saying anything right now. That's your job and that's my job. And you say, well, I don't have anybody to talk to. Well, just leave for Jesus and you'll have somebody to talk to. Because when you're the one that gets your prayers answered, when they know that you're different and there's something, and they say, pray for me. Anybody ever had that done? I mean, when you're a pastor, you get that all the time. Because they know who you are. I mean, you can't hide when you're a pastor. I mean, you're just out there. And so they know what you believe and they basically know where you're going. So you get that all the time. But you ought to be getting that all the time. Because the way you live, the way you speak, your air of faith about you. And that's what it takes. That's what it takes. The Lord has spoken in this form to us. In Honduras, he's spoken to us. We're starting a new project. It's called the Jehoshaphat Project. The Jehoshaphat Project is an army of teachers, an army of sowers. If you don't sow, you can't reap. We're getting all our graduates, calling as many as that respond in, orienting them, and we're saying, go into all the world. Go into all the world. What does that mean? All the nations? No. It means right around them. All the world means every place where Jesus ain't. That's the world. If it's an office, a government place, if it's a police academy, if it's a military academy, if it's a school, if it's a high school, if it's a college, anywhere where you can get the door open, you go in there and you teach the Word of God. Because people can't know what God thinks unless somebody tells them. And that's what this whole project is about. The Lord has led us to start now. Using all our graduates and pushing them to find places to go in and teach and to tell people how God thinks. Because if people don't know how God thinks, they can't respond. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You've got to sow the Word. And so we haven't announced this in our newsletter yet, or out here in the United States. We've started it in Honduras. We've announced it to our people. We've had our first meetings with our people, and we had a meeting of about 90 of our graduates all together so far. A lot of those have responded and come to the second meeting. And so we're pushing those people out to do something, to sow the Word in the world. Well, how does that affect you? Well, you're part of us. You know, you've been a part of us for a long time. And we're grateful for that. But at the same time, you live here. If you don't sow, you can't reap. People don't know. They don't know Jesus. They don't know God. They don't know how he thinks. If you don't tell them, if you don't teach them, they won't know.